Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. With me in the studio today are two guests who have come to talk to us about projects concerning creativity and innovation. Leonie Baldacchino and Shirley Pulisherchen are both assistant lecturers in the Edward de Bono Institute for the Design and Development of Thinking. Welcome to you both. We hear quite a bit about creativity and innovation. They've become rather buzzwords of late. I know that the Edward de Bono Institute is involved also in a number of EU-funded projects which deal, obviously, with different aspects of innovation and creativity. Could you tell us a little bit about those projects? Leonie, perhaps you'd like to start.
One of the projects we're involved in, I've actually been involved in the project for over 2 years now. It's the third year. It's called EINFORM, short for European Innovation and Foresight Masters. It's an Erasmus curriculum development project for a new joint international masters. The actual name of the new masters will be International Joint Masters in Strategic Innovation and Future Creation. It is coordinated by the Edward de Bono Institute here at the University of Malta in collaboration with another three universities in Europe. One of them is Potsdam, University of Potsdam in Germany. The other one is University of Teesside in the UK. And the third one is Turku School of Economics in Finland. Now, all four institutions have their own particular area of expertise. We deal mainly with creativity. University of Potsdam deal mainly in innovation management. Turku School of Economics deal mainly in future studies, which is also known as foresight. And University of Teesside is mainly involved in entrepreneurship, which is also one of our own areas of expertise as well. The new masters will be launched in October 2009, first intake of students, and we are hoping to have quite an international interest in this new masters.
And will the students, you say international in the sense that obviously they'll come from different countries, is this one of these masters where they have to do a little bit in each of the universities concerned, or will there be a particular base for them to work from?
No, they actually have to visit all four universities. However, the structure of the program is intended to appeal to people who are perhaps in the middle of their career and can't take too much of a career break. So the actual masters will be over 2 years, four semesters. However, the face-to-face components will be just 1 week at the beginning of each semester. So they will actually have 4 weeks of face-to-face over 2 years. The rest of the program will be held online. So the way it's structured is first semester, the beginning of October of the first year, will be University of Malta. So the study units, which will form part of semester one, will be launched, introduced during that face-to-face seminar for 1 week, together with, of course, team-building exercises, icebreakers, and so on and so forth to create a buzz. And the rest of the semester will be held online. The students will once again meet at the beginning of semester two at the University of Potsdam in Germany, and the study units for the second semester will be introduced as well as the assessments for the ones of semester one. Okay, so you conclude semester one and launch semester two. And then it's online once again for the rest of the semester. Semester three, we all meet in UK, University of Teesside, for the semester three launch. And semester four, we'll meet at Turku School of Economics in Finland for what will be a research seminar. Because semester four, the focus will be on the dissertation. So the students will be expected to have already done quite a considerable amount of work on the research, so they will be able to present the research at the seminar to get feedback from the peers and from the lecturers, share ideas and so on. And this is expected to lead to dissertations of much higher quality because of this interaction.
What about the funding for these students? Is it a paying course? Will there be, on this first occasion, funding from the EU to cover their expenses? Because obviously there will be expenses, flights, and you have to stay at the university, etc. So it's quite an onerous effort on the part of the students.
True. Well, so far the funding that we have received from the EU is for the development of the masters. So we had a grant over 3 years for the actual design and development and implementation of the masters. Once the masters is up and running, we will apply for what is called Erasmus Mundus, which will enable students to apply for funding from Erasmus Mundus. However, they will be students from third countries. They're called non-European students. For European students, so far, it seems as though it will be a fee-paying course. However, the fees are not yet 100% established because we are still in the final stages of establishing fees. However, more details will be available on our website, which is www.einform.eu, E-I-N-N-F-O-R-M. So more information on funding will be available there.
I suppose nowadays, in this climate of people having to think differently in their work, I mean, with the economic climate as it is, I mean, we're going to obviously have to be very innovative about our thinking in economic terms. So you imagine that these students will be prepared to pay a fee, because at the end of the day, they're going to get something out of it, skills out of the masters that will give them an opportunity to move forward in their careers,
yes,
I presume.
You're 100% right. In fact, the European Union has recognized the importance of creativity and innovation and has named 2009 this year as the European Year for Creativity and Innovation, and has actually named Professor Edward de Bono as Ambassador for Creativity and Innovation. So definitely creative thinking and innovation are extremely important. And then again, when you look at the number of students who pay for other degrees, such as the ever-present MBA, what our new Masters is offering is something different. It's not necessarily competing, because it is something on a completely different level. It's design thinking, it's approaching the whole creativity and innovation and the entrepreneurship and foresight from a holistic point of view. So it is definitely a value-adding Masters, and it's something that the students will benefit from, not just in educational terms, but it's something that they can really apply in their career.
You're coming to the end of the organizational side of this Masters, or are you still trying it out?
No, the actual program is done. In fact, I've already started piloting the Masters, quite a few of the modules here at the University of Malta, as well as in the other institutions. So we're just fine-tuning just a few of the details, you know how it is, from the students' feedback and so on and so forth. And the Masters will be launched officially in March 2009. We have the final conference, which is an international conference on strategic innovation and future creation, which will be held on the 23rd and 24th March here at the University of Malta. And we really encourage anybody interested in creative thinking, innovation management, foresight, entrepreneurship, anything related to those subjects, to come and participate in the conference, because it is not only a great opportunity to find out more about what the new Masters will be offering, but it's also a great chance to network and share ideas with the leading thinkers in the field, as well as the leading practitioners. We have some very good keynote speakers, and we're also inviting people to present their own papers, their own research at the conference. So there's a call for papers, which is on our website, and there are more details about registration forms, registration fees, and so on. If I may add one more thing, the final conference that I'm talking about will be followed by the Edward de Bono seminar, which is normally held in June, but this year it's going to be held just after the conference, because Professor de Bono has accepted to be one of our keynote speakers. So there is actually a discounted fee for those people who are interested in attending both events.
Shirley, your project has another of those famous acronyms, FEPIC. What does that stand for?
Yes, FEPIC. Well, it's a project that we've actually started a few months back, and it involves quite a few countries from around Europe. People involved in the project are from universities, companies, and other organizations, and mainly they're from Hungary, locally, of course, Poland, Sweden, the UK, and Italy, which is the coordinating country. Each focus group mainly consists of 9 female students from each faculty of engineering from each country. So we are doing this in collaboration with the Faculty of Engineering. And basically the aim of FEPIC is to increase competences on creativity for innovation and female leadership with university students and new graduates. The final result of this project will be a training tool, which will be available on the internet. It's a training tool for female engineers to improve the quality of creativity and innovation in their field. What the research will involve is visits to at least 3 local companies in each country to discuss creativity and leadership, and 9 female leaders will be interviewed. In April, we are meeting for workshops in Bologna, where we will be comparing and discussing results from the visits to companies in each country. And then these will be followed by workshops on creativity and leadership, which will be delivered by speakers from the USA, Italy, and our very own Dr. Sandra Dingley, who is the director of the De Bono Institute. Then in November, we all meet up in Malta, where we will have a detailed discussion of the training tool content and will finally finalize the training tool, which will be, again, available online.
So this really is trying to do 2 things. One, focus on the female side of things and encouraging female participation, perhaps, in engineering, which is considered sort of the last male bulwark as far as areas of study is concerned.
Precisely.
And at the same time, giving them value-added information skills, working skills, so that they can improve their position. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going on?
Yes.
The thinking behind it?
Actually, looking at being a female in such a male-dominated field as being something positive, something that brings something extra to the job, to the situation, to the experience. The female dimension that the females bring into the field is something that we want to highlight, and we want to appreciate, in the sense that we want to bring it forward and show that females actually have a very important role to play in the field of engineering.
And we are not actually coordinators of this
no,
course.
No, Italy.
So Italy perhaps also feels that they are lacking females within their engineering sector?
Yes, I think it is not something that is felt only locally, but it is an endeavour on a European level rather than just locally.
Well, before we move on to talk about the master's program here, which is already up and running and has been running for some time here at the University of Malta, I'd like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters, and I'm Patricia Camilleri. And I'm speaking today to Leonie Baldacchino and Shirley Pulley-Scherchen, who are assistant lecturers at the Edward de Bono Institute for the Design and Development of Thinking here at the university. You both are graduates of the master's program, which is offered by the Institute. Could you briefly tell us a little bit about the master's as it is today, and also about your particular research interests?
The master's program was introduced in October. The first intake was in October of 2004. I was one of the first students to partake in master's course. And it's a taught master's with a dissertation. Currently, it's spread over 3 semesters full-time or 6 semesters part-time, where the final semester is dedicated to the dissertation writing. This year, we've introduced online lecturing, which the students have found very efficient in the sense that it helps them to be more flexible in the way that they learn. They've also enjoyed the experience of using the online interactive element. But, of course, there is also the taught face-to-face component, which helps us to develop better relationships with the students as well.
One of the things I particularly like about the course is the diversity of backgrounds, the people attending, because that really must be actually very stimulating when you get in a group to have discussions.
Yes, because the discussions, the master's is based on creativity, innovation and entrepreneurship, but we go into diverse fields. And besides the theory that we as lecturers bring in, the students, as you said, coming from different backgrounds, different fields, they bring their own experience to the table. And so it makes for interesting discussions and interaction during the lectures and also when the students meet up to work together.
And usually these students, not all, but most of them would already be in a work situation.
Yes. We have students who are presently in a job, students who have just finished their undergraduate study, so even that adds a different dimension to the interaction.
And what about your person? What did you do for your dissertation?
Yes,
what did you write
up? As a teacher by profession at the time, I decided to concentrate on the role of creativity in education, and I researched Maltese teachers' perspectives on creativity in education, and my literature review had presented different models and theories of creativity which highlight the relationship between creativity and intelligence, a subject that is always very much in the forefront in education, and what is meant by everyday creativity, because when we talk about creativity in education, we are not simply talking about creativity of genius, but we are mainly concerned with everyday creativity, the creativity which is within the grasp of every student and every educator. And I went into the different characteristics of what makes up a creative individual. Usually creative individuals are associated with disruptive behavior in the classroom, so I was very interested to look into whether teachers actually appreciate creative individuals or not.
Possibly not. But
yes, due to certain constraints, though, because if you have all the time in the world, you can deal with certain behaviors. But what my research discovered was that actually teachers want to encourage creativity, but certain ever-present barriers like time, exams, and keeping up with the syllabus are major barriers to creativity, and in fact they create a lot of stress for the educators, for the teachers themselves, because on the one hand they want to encourage discovery, learning and creativity within the students, but on the other hand they have the ever-present constraints of keeping the time, keeping the noise level down, for example, and so on. So it is a difficult situation to balance out in the everyday running of a classroom.
I can imagine that. I was peripherally involved in a pilot project for a foresight initiative amongst primary school children, where they were given the chance to imagine what their village would be in 2020. That was the question they were asked. Mm-hmm. And some of the ideas they came up with were really amazing. And they were given a lot of freedom.
Exactly.
Freedom to write, mm-hmm. freedom to paint, freedom mm-hmm. to whatever, you know. They could mm-hmm. they could manifest their ideas in any sort of way. Mm-hmm. And some of them were absolutely, absolutely superb.
Yes. In that case, the role of the teacher becomes more of a facilitator of the knowledge, of the learning experience, rather than the know-all and the speaker all the time, where in this case the students take on a much more active role, and the experience becomes so much more enriching, both for the students and for the teachers themselves.
Leonie, what did you do your dissertation on?
My area of studies is entrepreneurship. So I looked into the role of creativity and innovation in startup success. The rationale was basically that startups are very important for the economy, with over 99% of all enterprises in Malta and in Europe being SMEs. The only problem is that most SMEs close down within 3 or 4 years of starting up. And I was interested in looking into what the factors are that lead to startup success. General factors, those associated with the owner managers, with the founders of the startups, those associated with the enterprise, as well as those associated with the external environment, which, as we know, here in Malta, we live in a small island state, which offers opportunities in some cases, but is also a constraining factor in other situations for startups. However, I focused mainly on the role of creativity and innovation, and found that, in fact, Maltese entrepreneurs are very creative and innovative, not only in their everyday running of the business, but also to overcome the constraints presented by us being a small island state, interestingly enough. And it's also a very important factor in those startups that actually make it, that are successful, are very creative and innovative in some way or another, be it the products and services they offer, be it the processes that they employ.
That's what I was going to ask. How do you define creativity when you are analysing, say, a startup?
Well, it depends. There were two phases of research. The first phase was qualitative. So there was a lot of discussion with the entrepreneurs, what they understood to be creativity and innovation, and they gave me their own definitions. Having a product that is new, that is different, that is perhaps adopted from overseas but then applied to the local context. So it doesn't have to be something that is completely new for it to be considered to be creative, to be innovative. It could be an adaptation as long as it is something different and value-adding. The second phase was more quantitative, whereby they were actually given a brief definition of creativity and innovation along the lines that we have discussed. And they were asked to say whether they were creative, whether they were not creative, and so on and so forth. And it turned out that quite a few of them, the vast majority in fact, well over 90%, reported some element of creativity and innovation.
And you felt that they were aware as startups, as owners of startups, of the need to be creative, or were they just doing it without really knowing that they were doing it, if you see what I mean?
No, they were actually very aware of it. There were very few who said that, well, yes, creativity and innovation, but it's more important to do this and that. Very, very, very few. The vast majority, when I spoke to them about creativity and innovation, they were really interested in talking about it and saying how they are creative, how they are innovative.
So they've recognized
very
the
much
need
so.
To
very much so.
Create this sort of value-added atmosphere.
Very much so, which was very encouraging, seeing as we're in the business and we're trying to teach creativity and innovation, but to see the fact that so many people are aware of the importance is already a huge step in the right direction, I think.
As we were saying, Shirley was saying before that this is the master's program is on its fifth intake. I know that you've spoken now about your dissertations. What are some of the other areas of research that have been looked at during these last 5 years?
Yes, as we said, the interest, the main field is creativity and innovation, but then it's adopted into different fields. An underlying objective that we try to encourage our students to include is that their research will make a valid contribution to the particular area studied, and the choice of areas studied by the students include ICT innovation, the hotel industry, creative thinking in voluntary youth organizations, as Leon mentioned, the Maltese SMEs, the value of simplicity in entrepreneurial ventures, the financial service industry, if you can see creativity within such a field, but there is the
somebody obviously has.
Foresight in culture, digitization policies in the Mediterranean, negative behavioral patterns, new product development, racism, mediation, sports marketing, architecture and design, the list goes on and on. Because, as we mentioned before, the students come with diverse interests, so it also leads to different dissertation titles, which once the new institute website will be launched and it's up and running, various dissertations will be available online, so the public can have a closer look at the work being carried out by our students. And in fact, in order to promote the research that is being carried out, last May we held a research seminar where past students, including Leonie and myself, were given the opportunity to highlight their research findings, and we found it a good opportunity to put our research out there and not just remain as a book on a shelf.
Exactly. This is always a bit the problem here. Now we have 10,000 students,
exactly,
most of whom at some point are going to be writing a dissertation. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to be of all of the same standard, but at postgraduate level, at master's level, most of them will be certainly extremely valid. And it's,
yes,
I think it's really important that we do find ways of introducing the general public to mm-hmm. what's going on and what's being said, what's being done here at the university amongst the students. So a research seminar of that nature as well, and a good website would be,
yes,
extremely important. We don't have much time, but I would like to know, I know that you're both going to be doing your PhD studies, very quickly, what are the subjects that you'll be picking up on now?
I'm still interested in seeing what leads to startup success. But this time I'm looking at it from a cognitive perspective, seeing as I have a psychology background. And I'm looking into the role of cognitive biases as well as emotions in successful entrepreneurship.
And you, Shirley?
Well, I am still sticking to creativity, but not specifically about education. But I want to look at creativity, organizational creativity within the public sector in Malta. So hopefully I'll be able to make a contribution towards encouraging creativity amongst employees, specifically within the public sector in Malta.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming to talk to us today about creativity and innovation.
Thank you.
Very much.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.